Baby, whoa, whoa, looks a scream. Hand him on my wall. Andy, whoa, whoa, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are artists Malia Jensen and Nan Curtis. They're here talking about Exquisite Scrolls, a show of 13 10-foot scrolls, each one created by 8 artists, which is on display at various galleries through May 29th and is also up for auction at pnca.edu. Thanks for doing Art Focus.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
We're in the Up4 space. The two that face you as you come in are called Exquisite Desk, and the low one is called Exquisite Dream. So, Malia, just tell us the concept behind Exquisite Corpse and then why you chose to do this.
So it's inspired by the Exquisite Corpse drawing game, which was a surrealist parlor game so that this person couldn't see what you had done and then pass it on to them.
Why would the surrealists do that?
They did it to entertain each other and to create unexpected results and surprises.
Where did these big rolls of paper come from and who did you send them to?
The big rolls of paper, I actually cut them on my chop saw when I ordered big rolls of watercolor paper and then bound them up really tight and cut them on my chop saw into 14-inch sections and divided them into 10-foot long pieces and then called a handful of people and was like, hey, let's do a project. Would you be a scroll captain? So the scroll captains were, and then when people would be like, sure, okay, which of course they didn't know what they were getting into, then they would invite people to join them, other artists, to participate on their scroll team. And they would choose a theme, which as you mentioned, like Exquisite Desk and Exquisite Dreams are two of the themes.
So looking at this top one, Exquisite Desk, so presumably they went from left to right. The first person drew their desk with their clock and their mug and their plants. The next person did a landscape with a jug with flowers in and a person sitting on a book. And then it becomes slightly different. Someone's reflection in a bowl of water, I think, and a hands picking up the bowl. And then it becomes just a sort of wavy, abstract bottle shape. And then Darcel did a sort of drawing of a church and a couple of buildings. And then it goes on like that. So Nan, tell us about the concept and how much kind of freedom people had.
People had total freedom to do whatever they wanted. In particular, they would take an edge of the drawing prior to build on. And in order to do that, this particular group, they use those edges pretty loosely, and they don't flow in the ways that some of the other ones do. But the thing that I really note about this one is that it seemed like they really filled each one of the squares. Each one of those artists like went edge to edge, up and down in a way that maybe some of the other scrolls didn't. It's really bold in its colors. And it seems like as you move across the scroll, assuming that it goes left to right, much like you would read a book, they sort of lost that literal understanding or depiction of desk. And then they land right back at it at the very end too. So people clearly have taken a lot of liberties. I feel like they probably looked at their desk as a starting point and then went from there.
The very first one and the very last one are very clearly artist desks, so they have pens and brushes and things like that. And then in the middle, people are just kind of doing what they want, right? The bottle, the sort of landscape. Sixth and seventh are a lot more abstract, but they have similar shapes. They have a bunch of lemons in one and blue bird eggs in another. Did the artists have any sense at all of what each other had done before them?
I don't think that they did, actually. Most artists that I talked to tried really hard not to look. And so that, you can say, is truly a coincidence between the lemons that are in the figurative panel there into the bluebird eggs. I think that that's just one of the beautiful things that happened. They also did a really good job of joining one to the other in that one. It almost begins to look like one kind of abstract piece, those two particular panels.
So the artists have already been coming in to look at the work.
Yes.
What kind of reactions are they having?
Some of them, people have been like, oh, that looks, I'm pleasantly surprised. Or, you know, you think you make something and you think, oh, I don't know how that's going to go. But then when you see it together, it's incredibly beautiful.
The other one out on this wall is called Exquisite Dreams. It's interesting because the first, at least the first four, all connect. People have picked up on each other's colors and shapes, and it flows like one piece of work, at least until the middle where it goes black and white. Tell us, are these, what type of artists were doing this?
This scroll in particular focuses on illustrators. I think the scroll captain on this one is Ryan Bubness, who's a faculty member at PNCA. And so Ryan has a lot of access, not just to artists in the community, but to students that have graduated, things along those lines. PNCA's illustration program is really top-notch. There's a lot of skill and intention in the work, I think, that's almost different than some of the other ones. I think we talked about it a little bit before. One of the things about illustrators is they're very clued into the client in a way that I think artists have the luxury, or, you know, they just don't have to focus in the same way. With that in mind, I feel like they took that idea of the notion of how they connect from one to the other way more seriously than some of the other scrolls. Like, the distinction between the styles is clear, but the connection to from one picture to the next is also really important, obviously, to the way that the image gets built up across. In some cases, you sort of lose between some of the artists and where they're going from one to the next and whose work is whose. And I feel like that's a little different than some of the other scrolls. There's so much attention paid to the way that they connect from one image to the next.
Part of what I feel with this scroll is just the sheer joy of connecting. Like, it's not so much, and I think that there's just aptitudes, and certain people want to, like, I'm doing my thing, this is a space I'm gonna use, going for it, I have this idea and I'm gonna manifest it. And some people are really feeling that truly exquisite joy of making connections with the next piece. And I love seeing that, for instance, in Jax Coe and Max Dulis and then Molly Mendoza. I think, like, that series is amazing. And I think even though this one goes to black and white, this is Izzy Medrano, who didn't actually have anything to do with PNCA. So Izzy comes to the school from a different angle, but I love how that black and white panel gives it kind of a rest point from the intensity of the color. And then Icho, who's a new instructor at PNCA, who does incredible mural work and illustration, really connects so closely to Ryan Bubness's work in that color seeping in there, but with that really radical change of style.
So the eighth panel is by Icho, and it is very surreal. It's a skeleton with horns playing violin.
The themes are really meant as a prompt and a sort of inspiration. And sometimes, well, and they're also, I mean, exquisite dreams, that could be anything. An exquisite desk, like Nan pointed out, could just be like, well, my starting point is my desk, because that's where I've been spending all of this time this whole past year when people weren't going out. I mean, obviously people were going out, but we were internal, thinking internally.
Two of the scrolls on the opposite wall, the top one is called Exquisite Chatter, and it's all PNCA teachers, and then Exquisite City is all done by Allied Works architecture staff. So this whole project was to raise money for PNCA. What was it like getting these artists to connect?
Everything discombobulating, let's just use sort of a light word for all of the heavy stuff that was happening. Everything that could have happened did happen. people were so busy and overwhelmed, and all of a sudden the schools closed. All of a sudden they can't teach in any way remotely similar to what they had done before.
I'm impressed by the fact that there's a lot of names that we recognize, but there's also artists in there that are young and coming up through PNCA, so that's exciting too. Good to see Jaleesa's work, which also feels like an anomaly to a lot of the other work there because it's collage and image-based in a way that the other work isn't. And so it's a standout piece. It's very body connecting to a Michael Lazarus, which is just perfectly strange in this kind of cartoonish figurative way that a lot of his work does with the mask, what looks like the mask. And then Sarah Farahat too is also working with the collage and constructed image. So I'm really drawn to that particular section there because it's so strange. It flows in a different way than the rest of the work does, in the way that they flow together. They responded to each other.
Allied Works, as you might know, they have done so many projects in our city and so many museums and institutions all over the country and internationally. And they worked on the remodel of PNCA's current building. So it felt really important to me to get them involved, and they were really excited to be a part of it. In fact, one of the things that they told me as a team was that they all are so used to, as architects, working on computers, that the chance to draw freehand. So it's funny that you think that the precision of this work is actually really loose, in a sense, for the things that they are usually constrained by in their work practice. They all to a one said they were very excited to be a part of it and grateful to have the time to do freehand drawing and get back in touch with that part of their practice.
One of the images is the Fremont Bridge, and below it is a tent city, and it seemed to be hundreds of people on the bridge looking down. It's by Dan Koch. And next to it is Chelsea Grassinger, who I'm pretty sure I've interviewed her about their work on the Timber Stadium and the Music Museum in Canada. And that's more of it's a kind of a plan with a contour map within it. So really, they were just, I guess they're not in the office anymore, right?
All working remotely.
They're all doing this from home.
Everyone was doing these remotely, and some of the scrolls, like this scroll, traveled to New York. Some of the other scrolls traveled to Southern California. They would get dropped off on people's porches in town. You know, I think it's stunning how quickly people are trying to kind of forget what happened last year, but we didn't go near each other. And people are like, oh, just put it someplace. Like, the level of fear and anxiety around proximity to one another was incredible. And then at the same time, as you're alluding to in Dan's piece, and this whole project really, it's kind of woven into it, is the racial justice movement. And all of that going on simultaneously to being like pushing each other away and apart. This panel has, within the microcosm of this city of Portland, it has the Swifts coming out of the chimney, it has the marshes going across the Fremont Bridge, and a postage stamp size mural of George Floyd right in the middle. This image that galvanized everyone's attention for the last year. Working on this project, I kept trying to balance, is this frivolous to do at this time as we're trying to make such a massive and such a needed change? But then being encouraged by the artists who were truly excited to be a part of something that was generative and that was about making something positive happen at a time when we were contending with so many things that we didn't know how to manage. And that it gave the artists a chance to be artists. I don't know, Nan, you probably know as many artists who've just said, how is what I'm doing even relevant? How does it even make sense that I'm continuing to do art at a time when we have so much other things to cope with, to deal with? Well, and this is why this project like embraces what artists do and is also a benefit for the scholarship funds at PNCA that are literally about trying to help someone create a future for themselves.
My name is Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My My guests this week are Malia Jensen and Nan Curtis, talking about Exquisite Scrolls, which is 13 10-foot scrolls, each by 8 artists, on display now through May 29th at various locations and also online and for auction. There are two together called Exquisite Spill and Exquisite Feet. And Nan and Malia, you're both in the Exquisite Spill one.
I thought it was a great prompt, actually, and I pretty much went directly with it. Malia was saying earlier that not everybody did that. It was more of just a way to wrap your head around what to do. But mine actually was pretty literal, and I think most of ours was, well, at least the half. We completed our scroll in 2 weeks, and so we had to physically divide it in half in order for us to be able to pump through all of getting everybody's images on it. So we had two different scrolls, four people, and we were running to each other's studios to get it sort of produced in time. And I took mine quite literally. Mine is the spill there.
Which spill is yours, the red one?
The red spill, and I literally took a glass of wine and spilled it across the drawing, trying very hard not to interfere with the drawing prior to it, and then I flocked it, which is a kind of way to make paint look like fabric or like fiber. And so it's supposed to look still like it might be wine.
How do you flock things?
You paint them with a kind of enamel paint, and then you take fibers in a tube and you blow it onto it. And so it comes in lots of different colors, and you can make all kinds of things look like they actually have a fabric finish on them, essentially. Yeah, it also might be why ours has a very distinct middle line between mine and this other half of them. Vantagabawa is the next artist. It is completely typical of her work as well, so I can't say that because it was in half, it meant that they didn't sort of connect in the same way. I think both of us did a lot of what you would expect from us, but they don't connect in exactly the same ways. And this is the one scroll that's literally cut down the middle.
I like how your glass of wine is actually, like, I start with the dead bird and the glass of wine. And I wanted to have, so you can see the little pool of wine in the tipped glass. And I wanted to have the red spill, but I changed my mind at the last minute. So it's almost cosmically funny that you brought the very literal red wine spill in back at the middle of the scroll. I was partly inspired on the spill theme by Susan Morrell's show that was at Carnation Contemporary, and she had done a whole show that involved the water. So that was partly part of my inspiration was Susan's show. So she's the second artist on the scroll.
There's a foot in the top one, Exquisite Spill, but the one below, Exquisite Feet, has quite a few feet in. Is that a coincidence?
It's a coincidence. Blair Saxon Hill is the third artist, and she did an amazing collage that has this foot coming up off the side, and then, as Nan was saying, her red flocked spill looks like it's coming out of sort of heel of the foot. And then Avantika starts in very boldly, and I suspect Avantika would have done something similar regardless of the first, so she started off really well. And then Hannah Bakken, who's a printmaker, who actually couldn't run the scroll through a press in this instance because it didn't fit, so she did a drawing of kind of a water spillway. And the next panel is actually my mom, Marty Widman, who many people know from having worked at the front desk at the Oregon College of Arts and Crafts for many years. So she's familiar to a lot of people in the community. And then Aaron Denkerink, who I did not know, but who's a friend of Avantika's, and who went to PNCA, graduated in 2013, and works in the arts in various ways currently. So those two panels have a real strong color relationship. And Aaron's piece, I love how it connects back to Susan's piece with those blues.
We're in the Lislege Gallery, and there is one scroll which has already been bought, and it's called Exquisite Shape. One of the squares looks completely white. What is that? You have to look very closely to see anything.
That's Duane Zaladek. He's a New York artist who does some deeply minimal work. And you can see, if you get really close, there are some very well-considered pencil lines that kind of form a square shape in the middle. And the edge of the work is very thoughtful as well, with a line extending around it. But it was funny because I knew this would happen because I've known Duane for a long time, and I knew this is what he would do. But and Scroll Captain Christine Burdett told me that she literally, when she was first getting the scroll back after it went through all of the journey, she hadn't seen any of them, and she said she opened it and literally burst out laughing. The next scroll after Duane is Pat Boas, who did this very hot color moving line piece. But she told me that she did it during the peak of the fires last year, when Portland was we were shut inside for the whole different reason, with the smoke confining everyone to their homes. And it does, when you think about it, look like the kind of light that's filtered through that orange sort of pinky light of that the smoke and the sun coming through created during the fires. And Ginny Park, who's represented here by Elizabeth Leach, who's a terrific painter with this, and did a fabric collage piece with a kind of watercolor bleed of paint. And Christy Wyckoff, who professor emeritus at PNCA, has taught printmaking for many years, this beautiful tangle green piece connecting with Judy Cook, who are their longtime friends. So you can see her lines feeding into Christy's. And then Paula Overbay, who is a terrific artist and has also been incredibly supportive of this project and has been gallery sitting most Thursdays of the whole month. And Christine Burdett, and then Michelle Ross finishing it off. So this scroll is stunning, and I hope that you can come see it, you radio listeners.
We're in the Charles Froelich Gallery, and the scroll here is called Inexquisite Table, and it's all Froelich Gallery artists. These are all they look like very individual pieces, but I would say a quarter of the way up of each one, there is a horizontal line that everyone seems to have taken into account. And then the third one along is it's very topical. It's got coronaviruses, military police doing gas in Portland, fires, tents, the former guy at the top waving his fingers. I'm surprised people didn't really do very topical stuff. What was the kind of ratio, do you think, of 2020 news to non.
Everything about 2020 was just so inescapable that, in a sense, I think what makes everyone else's work still topical is just that we're all able to do it, and that we created these works and these collaborations during a time when the odds were against it. And I think a lot of artists really enjoy the opportunity to just do their work, to participate and to collaborate with one another in ways that expressed our capacity for joy as artists and our just ability to do our creative work.
And the Froelich Gallery, you said, has a strong connection to PNCA artists. Tell us again, what's the cause that these 13 scrolls are being auctioned for? And May 29th is the last day.
The auction benefit of this work is for the Equity and Leadership Scholarships, which have been created by PNCA to support the BIPOC students at the school and to further the interests of racial equity within our arts community and within the institution of the school. There's something about the energy of having collaborated together on something that is for a purpose, such as sharing what is our relative privilege with students and future artists that might not have the access that so many of us have.
The last of the scrolls we're looking at is called Exquisite Land.
And this is Brenda Mallory's piece, and she had very much had in mind, as you can see in this central Sarah Sistrine piece, land back. Like, this is very much about
the land back, and the indigenous movement to reclaim the land. And also at the end of Bukola's piece, Not Your Manifest Destiny, pretty much spells it out. The beginning has a really poetic linkage between those gorgeous shapes and Heather Birdsong's really beautiful physical architectural land still life intervention. This one sort of knocks my socks off. It's just such a stunning collaboration with so many beautiful voices.
Here in Blue Sky Gallery, the scroll is called Exquisite Scape, with an apostrophe, like landscape. Third one from the right is a photo. It's the only one that's a photo, and it's because it's Chris Rauschenberg. It's a woman with tattoos crouching down next to her fuzzy melon handbag. Are these landscapes? It's hard to say. Some of them are, but there are lots of people in them.
I think this Laura Ross Paul is someone that I had known since I was a student at PNCA, and she's a terrific painter and paints both landscapes and people. And so her theme of exquisite scape was a play off landscape, but also all kinds of scapes. So there's, you know, beachscapes and landscapes and humanscapes and mentalscapes. And Tom Prochaska has this very beautiful, loosely drawn image of two people that looks kind of like a blind contour drawing, and it speaks to me of sort of an interior mindscape. And the next one, Kim Osgood has a show currently at Russo Lee, which interestingly is where the last scroll that we haven't yet walked to see located. But she has this a volcanic explosion that we all assume to be Mount St. Helens.
The third one along is by Karen Esler, and it's an old woman with a sort of suffragette kind of gear on, like a cape and a rosette and an old hat from like 1910. And she's standing in front of a railing in front of, looks like a lake. It's all black and white, but it looks like pencil drawing. It's really amazing.
I think she's looking at us from another time.
She's thinking about the flu pandemic.
Yeah, she's thinking about the flu pandemic.
You got it easy, you lot.
Yeah.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week were Malia Jensen and Nan Curtis. They were talking about Exquisite Scrolls, which are on view now through May 29th, and also available for auction to raise money for BIPOC student scholarships at the art school, PNCA. Thanks so much for doing Art Focus again, Malia.
Thank you so much for having me, Joseph. It's been a delight.
Andy Warhol looks a scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.